Praise the Lord. God has been speaking to us about prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. What have we been hearing about prayer so far? Prayer is a great act of faith. Amen. Amen. What again? We also learned about the fact that prayer is important. And we learned that prayer is spiritual warfare. We also learned about how to pray, or actually we learned how to pray for long periods of time. At least 1 hour. Hallelujah. And what's the first? And what scripture do we use to back the 1 hour or more prayer? Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and asking, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And what's the second? Is there any other? Jesus went out to a solitary place a great while before day. He went out to a solitary place and there prayed. Now, what are some of the keys or ways to pray for long periods of time? The first is have a clock. Because if you don't have a clock, you can pray for 20 minutes and think you've prayed for 1 hour. But when you have the clock, it gives you the real time. Hallelujah. And what was the next thing we talked about how to pray for long periods? Pray, very good. Pray with music. Christian music. Yes, you have to specify that it is Christian music. Hallelujah. And then what's the other one? Pray with a preaching message, you know, a video, preaching video, and then pray with a preaching message, audio. Hallelujah. Because that gives you more time. When your mind is focused on what the preaching is about, or you are watching the message, you can easily find yourself praying for long periods of time. Hallelujah. Because and what verse did we use to talk about the fact that you can pray with your spirit and pray with your understanding? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that we can pray with our spirit and we can pray with our understanding. Hallelujah. So it means that you can pray, so long as you are praying in tongues, even if your mind is on the video, the Christian video, it is okay. What verse did we use? We used 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 1 through 5. Yes, it's a different one. 1 Corinthians 14 is somewhere at the bottom where it says that if I pray in tongues, verse 14. Yes. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So it means that when you are praying in tongues, your spirit is praying, but your understanding is unfruitful. So it means that you cannot even understand what you are praying about. Because praying in tongues, from Acts chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says that, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's actually the Holy Spirit that gives us the utterance. Hallelujah. So it means that you and I cannot know what we are praying about. Hallelujah. And then we also read that Apostle Paul said, if I want to give thanks, I can give thanks in tongues. So it means that you can actually direct your tongues. Amen. I thought he sorted this thing out. Just come back. Hallelujah. So, yes, what else did we talk about? Just a couple more and then we will continue with this week's message. We talked about the fact that tongues is very important. Amen. Pray 90% of the time in other tongues. Hallelujah. Okay. And then last week we talked about the fact that pray, because prayer is a great act of faith. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to have notes. If you have notes, we would have had more to say, because this is the third, is it the third or fourth? The third or fourth. So it shows that we've covered a lot. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the first, what did we talk about last week? We talked about the fact that when we pray, we are proving our faith, because prayer is a great act of faith. Now let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So God is telling us that, look, we can pray and not give up on prayer. Amen. No matter what, you and I should not give up on prayer, but we must be people who pray always. Because once God has promised, he is able to do. Hallelujah. Then we read from Matthew chapter 7 last week. Matthew 7:7. And look at it in the Amplified, which says, ask and keep on asking, and you will receive. And it will be given to you. So you see, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. Verse 8, for everyone. What does verse 8 say? For everyone who keeps on asking receives. Everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. So God didn't say knock or ask 10 times. God just says ask. So how many times are you going to ask? Someone can ask 9 times and it will not work. Someone can actually ask 10 times today, it will work out immediately. But when you are praying about something else the next day and you pray 10 times, it might not work. It might be 2 times. Or it could be 20 times. All God says is ask and keep on asking. But everyone who asks and keeps on asking will always receive. There is not a single soul who asks and keeps on asking in faith who does not get what they are looking for. Can I have an amen? Amen. So persistent prayer is an act of faith. Hallelujah. So we said a lot about that last week and a week before. So the next reason why you and I must pray is because when we pray, it makes us into people of authority. Hallelujah. So you and I become people of authority when we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. When you and I pray, it makes us into people of authority. Amen. Amen. When Jesus had finished these sayings, let's go back to King James. Awesome. Verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when you pray, you are actually going into the throne room of God. Amen. The Bible says that, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We must therefore go boldly, or come boldly, unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need. So the Bible is saying we must go boldly unto what? The throne of grace. Now, where is God on the throne? Hallelujah. So if you and I are praying, and by praying we are going into the throne room, it means that we are actually having face-to-face or direct contact with God. Actually, direct contact with God. And anytime you have direct contact with a powerful and important person, it makes you important and powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It makes you important and powerful because you are always communicating with an important person. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and also when you have spoken to someone, and the person has discussed important issues with you, it makes you very confident when you are speaking about the person. That's right. Hallelujah. If I have spoken to my boss, and my boss has given me some instructions because I've spoken to my boss, all the people who are my colleagues will respect what I'm saying because I spoke to the boss. That's right. And when I'm speaking, I'll speak with a certain confidence. Because authority, when you have authority, you also have confidence. Amen. When a king who has authority is speaking, he's speaking with so much confidence because he knows, or she knows, a king or queen, that what they have said will come to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you and I must realize that praying a lot makes us into people of authority. And when you are a person of authority, the demons are subject to you. Hallelujah. When you are a person of authority and you speak or you pray or you demand something, it happens. That's why when Peter and John were on their way to the temple and they passed through the gate called Beautiful, the Bible says that they saw a man who was lame or crippled. Hallelujah, from birth, crippled. So the Bible says that the guy was begging for alms. But Peter and John went to him and stopped. And Peter fixed his eyes on the man and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have give I thee." But don't forget, such as I have. So you and I must have Christ to give Christ out. "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what happened? The man leaped up. So you will see that he used his authority. The authority of Jesus Christ, Peter used that authority and caused the man to rise up. How many are getting what I'm saying? So, but that came about because of prayer. Jesus was a person of authority because a great while before day, he went to a solitary place and there prayed. The Bible says, as was his custom, he prayed. Jesus was always praying. Now, if God manifested in the flesh is always praying, then you and I must be people who pray. Daniel was made a man of authority because he was always praying. The Bible says that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day, he would kneel down and pray towards Jerusalem. So 3 times a day, Daniel prayed, and that God caused him to be lifted up and was at a very high level. But that his position was being affected, and there was a life and death situation. The king said, "Pray to no other, or ask, do not ask a petition from any other god or any other person except for me." Anyone who does that will be thrown into the den of lions. What did Daniel do? Opened the window and prayed. Why? Because Daniel knew that prayer was what was making him that person of authority. Because he was a man of authority. Daniel, in 3 regimes, was second in command to the emperor. Imagine. That's a very high level. Amen. So prayer makes us into people of authority. Because when I speak to someone and I ask them for something and the person tells me that they'll give it to me, when I'm speaking about it, I know what I'm talking about. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
When I'm speaking about it, I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it because I know for sure that it has happened. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4. Verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." Remember, Jesus had been praying, fasting. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Think about that. Hallelujah. And that's because of prayer. When you pray, demons are subject to you. When you pray, you are someone who prays a lot. It means you are someone who fights a lot. We talked about it, that prayer is also spiritual warfare. Amen. Okay, let's look at also at Luke chapter 4, verse 22. "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" Now look at verse 31 and 32. "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Think about it. His word was with power, confidence. The Bible says that, "For they that do know their God shall display strength and take action." That's NESB. But King James says, for they that do know their God shall work strong and what? And do exploits. I see you doing exploits. I see you and I doing exploits as we pray, as we are people of prayer. Because when you pray, what else did we say? When you pray, you are calling things to happen or making decisions in the heavenly realms before they are manifested in the physical. Because prayer is also making decisions and establishing things in heaven before they are a reality on earth. What do I mean by that? Many decisions are made in heaven. Before someone dies, it's already declared in heaven. Before you get your next job, it's declared in heaven. Before you pass your exams, it's declared in heaven. Before you get sick, it's already in heaven. It's known in heaven. The Bible says that when Satan and God was speaking with Satan in the book of Job, the Bible says that God told Satan that, have you considered my servant Job? And then after all the discussion, God said, do anything you want to Job, but don't touch his body. What happened? It was decided already. Then Satan left. After Satan left, then chaos. So you will see that it was already decided in heaven. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Yes. So when we pray, we become people of authority. How many want to be people of authority? Very important. Now the third, you see, and before we continue, what makes someone an authority? Like there is a professor, I think it's professor now, Professor F.I.D. Konote Ahulu. How many have heard of him? Only one, okay. Professor F.I.D. Konote Ahulu, he is the world authority on sickle cell. World authority, meaning that there's no one on earth, at least that is written in the Guinness Book. He's even in the Guinness Book of Records. He's the world authority on sickle cell because he's had many talks on sickle cell. He's written many books on sickle cell. He's very knowledgeable on sickle cell. Hallelujah. And because of that, he got the Guinness Awards. And he's the world authority. So it means that you can be an authority when you know something very well. But how are you going to know or be an authority on God when you don't speak to him? How are you going to be an authority on God when you have not spoken to him for him to do something for you? Something miraculous. What do you think? Number three. Is it number three? Yes. Number three. Let us pray because prayer makes us into people of anointing. People of anointing. When you pray, you become a man or a woman of anointing. Now, what is the anointing? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. What is the anointing? The Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he's going to explain it. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So the anointing is the Holy Ghost and power. Amen? The anointing is God, the Holy Spirit. So, but there is also power connected to the anointing. So the anointing is the Holy Spirit and its power. Some are anointed with the Holy Spirit and automatically are anointed with power. And some are just anointed with power. And what is the anointing of power? Miracles. Miracles, healings, different fantastic signs and wonders. But the anointing of power does not convert or does not change people or does not affect people's lives like the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? When I was in the world, I used to say that, look, I want to see a miracle, true miracle, then I'll come to Jesus. Then I'll believe in Jesus. I believed in Jesus, but I wanted a true miracle. I wanted to see some healing. When I see the healing, then I'll surrender. I'll say that, yes, it's time. I give my life to Christ. But until then, I was just misbehaving. I was using that as an excuse. Hallelujah. And I saw the miracle, but it didn't change me much. It changed me for a few days. That's why the Bible says that God, the children of Israel knew the acts of God or the power of God. The children of Israel saw the wonderful miracles when the Red Sea was parted. Fantastic miracles, but many of them still didn't please God. Many of them still had doubt in spite of all the miracles. Think about it. In the desert, there is meat. There is manna. There are shoes. Can you believe that their shoes, they never ordered new pair of shoes. They had the same shoes from childhood all the way till adulthood. To adulthood. Imagine. So the Bible says that the children of Israel knew the acts of God or the power of God, but the ways of God were not made known unto them, but they were made known unto Moses. That's the presence of God. That's the power of God and the presence of God. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So when you are a person of anointing, you are a person who exhibits the power of God and the glory of God and the presence of God. Amen. When you are someone who is anointed, and it's not only preachers who are anointed, by the way. David was a king, but he needed to be anointed. Samuel poured the oil with the ram's horn on David to anoint him as king. So kings were anointed. So the only people in the Old Testament who were anointed were kings, priests. It's still the same in the New Testament. So who is a priest and who is a king here? Now, where do you get that verse from? Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5. We are kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us. This is not in the future. It's now. Has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So you and I have been made kings and priests unto God. That's why we can be anointed. If this verse was not there, you and I cannot be anointed because it was only kings and priests who could be anointed. Now, the anointing is for service and the anointing is for kingship.
That's right.
Look at Romans chapter 5 verse 17 in the Amplified. I want to encourage you to pray. Because prayer works.
Yes.
I said prayer works.
Amen.
I said prayer works.
Prayer works.
For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one. Now this death, what do you think this death is talking? Who is the death here? Yes, separation from God. But this death is also that entity on the horse in Revelation. Death and Hades. Death was on the horse. And Hades followed. Death is an entity. Hallelujah. Do you get it? You remember in Revelation, the white horse, the Antichrist. And then after the white horse, what was there? The pale horse, the green horse, the brown horse with the riders. Who were the riders on some of them? Death was a rider. And Hades or hell followed. And then the pale green, all those, that pale horse, remember that we are talking about decay. When something has decayed, when a body has decayed, and it's smelling and it's rotting, the color. Am I preaching to somebody? For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with God, what? Reign as what? Kings. In life. Life. Not death. Life. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So you and I, when God anoints us, he anoints us to be priests and to be kings. Now, king over who? Over people? No. King over circumstances. We are to reign over circumstances. We are to reign over circumstances, and we are supposed to reign so powerfully that God's abundant grace, overflowing grace, Amen. His provision is met in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you are reigning as a king, the devil cannot misbehave, cannot mess with you. Because a king cannot be messed up. Also, when you are anointed, you are similar to the sheep and the goats. No, rather the sheep. You see that the sheep, the shepherd has some chemicals, oil that they rub on the sheep so that ticks and insects will not attach themselves. In the same way, when God anoints you, he's anointing you and I so that no demon, no troubles will attach themselves to us. That's why when you read in the Psalms, the Psalm of David, when the Bible is talking about, with my holy oil have I anointed him. And God will beat down his foes. God will deliver him from the devil. The enemy will not outwit him. Fantastic verses because of the anointing. Am I preaching to somebody? Let's turn the Bibles to Psalm. Wow. We need to go back to the landlord. Psalm 89. Let's start from verse 19. Then thou speaketh in a vision to the Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. So God has called David before he was mighty, a mighty man, like he did Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David. Now you can put your name there. It's easy for me to put my name there. I'm David. I just slot my name in. It's very easy. I have found David. Easy. So I consider that me. Consider that you, Richard. Consider that you. But that's easy. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. What are the benefits? Let's continue. With whom my hand shall be established. And you see, all this is prayer. You can never be anointed without prayer. Never. Mine arm shall also strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. That's very powerful. It means that no ticks, no demons, no troubles will afflict, will trouble, will persecute. It doesn't mean you will not go through trouble. Actually, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? The Lord shall deliver them out of them all. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. That's what the anointing does. Next. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn or influence be extended, Amen. Be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers, international Amen. Prominence. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. He will cry unto God saying these things because that's what God has proved himself to be to him. Amen. Also, I will make him my firstborn or first ranking, higher than the kings of the earth. The word firstborn is first in rank. Oh, Amen. My Lord is good. Imagine God has said you are first ranking. Even though you are not perfect, he's made you first ranking. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. Now it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is his seed. And his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, like Solomon, if they break my statutes, and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod of and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, this verse, nevertheless, is not for everyone. He will visit with a rod and stripes, all that, and then that's it. But nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Meaning that God will guarantee and make sure that there is a light in Judah because of David. My covenant, and it goes on. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. This is for the anointed person. Hallelujah. And you and I become anointed as we pray. Why? Because when I'm speaking to, let's assume I'm speaking to Richard all the time. If I'm always speaking to Richard on a regular basis, some of his mannerisms will rub off on me, and some of my mannerisms will rub off on him. It's automatic. So some of his speeches, some of the things he says will rub off. Why? Because we talk a lot. In the same way, when we speak to God a lot, some of his anointing, some of his essence, some of his glory will rub off on us. That's why when Moses, what did Moses do? Moses went to pray. He went to the mountain to pray. And the Bible says that as Moses prayed 40 days, when he came down from the mountain, the Bible says that as he was relating with the people could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. So when they see Moses' face, his face was bright. The glory was emanating from him. His face was bright. So he had to put a veil over his head to be able to relate to the people. And that was the old dispensation. How much more in the new dispensation? Because the old dispensation was a shadow, was inferior to the dispensation or the covenant we have now, which has better and surer promises. If God could speak to Moses mouth to mouth and all those things happen, I want to experience that. I should be able to experience, why shouldn't I experience that? Before I die, I must see something. I must hear his voice. God spoke to him mouth to mouth in the old time. The easier one, if Moses' face was shining, my face should shine also.
Amen.
Yours too. Amen. That's if you want it. I want this. My face should shine. After prayer, at the point when you see me,
Amen.
Yours too, Emmanuel, if you want.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Exodus 24. Oh, good. Yeah, Exodus 34, 35 explains it. Very good. Look at Exodus 24, 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Think about that. Praying for 40 days and 40 nights. No wonder God anointed him. How many want the anointing? You see, you can never be anointed without praying, because prayer is what gives the anointing. Look at Matthew. Okay, no. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 13. Either 10 or 11, verse 13. Okay, good. So let's go back to, let's start from verse 10. So it's verse 13 we're looking for, but there's a context. Okay, verse 9. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. 10. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. 11. For if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish, while he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? if ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, or shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit or the anointing to them that ask. So it means pray for it and you get it. It means pray for it and you will get it. Hallelujah. It means what? Pray for it and you will get it. Pray for the anointing and you will get the anointing. But if you pray for it once or twice, it doesn't mean you get it. You have to pray and persist in prayer and you will get it. Hallelujah. How many see that these are very good reasons? The devil is afraid of anointed people. Or the devil treads cautiously on anointed people. Cautiously. It doesn't mean he doesn't attempt. He will attempt. But cautious. Why cautiously? Because when the anointed person is praying for deliverance for the problem, the havoc caused in his camp is very wild. Imagine the anointed person's car breaks down and is praying for God to give them a car. Hema shanabaka, God give me a car. As you are praying, other things are being defeated. The devil is being defeated in other areas. Because tongues, we can be praying about the car, but God will be, the Holy Spirit will be directing our prayer towards other important areas, including the car. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Do you remember we read from Romans chapter 8? Romans 8, we started from like 24, 25, 26. That we do not know the what we should pray for the way we ought. But the Spirit himself, let's read it. Last verse before we conclude, till next week, God willing. Romans 8, I believe it's 24, 25. 26, 25? 6. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Like I said, in heaven, Jesus is interceding for us. On earth, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit directs our prayers according, directly to God's will. It's fantastic. That's why we must pray in other tongues. That's why we must pray without ceasing. That's why we must always pray. Pray, don't worry about what you are praying about. You haven't received it yet. It's not a problem. Are you worried? No problem. God, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm not worried. I'll be back the next day. I'll be back till you give it me what I'm looking for. And that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Hallelujah. I'm not out of word. I'm just out of time. Shall we stand to our feet?
Help us to pray, Lord. Help us to pray. Help us to pray. Give us the strength to pray. Give us a great